Hi there, and welcome back. It's Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley. I'm the host of this show. And we are all about learning new ways to stop feeling out of control of habits that have got you in their grip. We have all got habits, right? And it's a part of being human. But some habits leave us feeling unhappy, dissatisfied, or out of control. And if you're dealing with one of those kind of habits, then this show is for you. If you care about a person who is dealing with an out-of-control habit, then this show can be for you too, because you may have developed some ways of dealing with those people or that person that isn't getting you results that you want either. I'm a habit change expert, and I started out working with people dealing with serious problem habits, like alcohol and drug addictions, almost 30 years ago. I learned that there are some common things about all habits, and what I know is that no matter how big or small a habit problem is, when it's got you in its grip, it feels big to you. And I've also discovered there are ways to approach this, no matter what your habit is, and I want to help you manage your small problems, so they don't have to get so big and out of control. The show is also here for you if you're succeeding in handling your problem habit, and you want to keep getting support and learning new things to reinforce your changes. So let's see, what are we talking about today? Well, we're going to dip into the question about readiness or reluctance. If you're like a lot of folks and things aren't moving forward or they're not moving fast enough, you could easily fall into judgment about yourself, feeling frustrated, angry. And if you're hurting because someone else has a problem habit, you might be caught in a cycle of frustration, impatience, or anger at them. And the thing is a lot of us try to force ourselves to change, and we use the word resistance, I'm resistant, as if in some way that's going to help. Maybe it could help in the short term, but it rarely works over the long haul. So today, we'll be talking about a way you can actually use your resistance to help you grow your readiness to change. Let's start with a practice in being with yourself. We do this at the start of every podcast before we go on to our topic. It gives you a chance to slow down and connect with yourself, and it's a basic place to start. If you've listened before, you know that we say, let your body lead, so your mind doesn't have to. And if this is your first time, welcome aboard. You are invited to participate in this little exercise, and it can help you shift your energy. It's a practice in receiving yourself. So let's start. All you have to do in this moment is place one hand on the other. And just be attentive to your experience of touch. This is such a everyday experience, and it steps into the background and we become forgetful. Investing a few moments in being attentive to something simple like this, the experience of touch, is a way of being present to yourself. It can also help to focus your attention. So without moving your hand, maybe you can feel the texture of your skin. Just notice, without having to do anything. You might notice a sense of temperature, from cold to hot. And then you can also be attentive to any movement that's occurring. You can just be attentive to small shifts and changes in the movements that are just happening routinely. Because we're not still until we die. Now, just let your attention move from the specific or local experience to your general state. What is your mood as you participate in this? But what effect does it have on your attention simply to rest on this feeling of touch? Is it restful or activating? Do you find your thinking process affected, for instance? Do you find yourself slipping into distraction? Maybe you're working too hard to focus, or there's a sense of speeding up or slowing down in your thoughts. Just from a simple act of having one hand rest on the other. The idea is to be available, to allow what's organically there, without trying to make anything happen. And that means without trying to change or correct anything in any way. Just allowing what is to be there. Being attentive has a big payoff in the long run. And maybe you can experience it now, just in the short run. Because the practice of being attentive can help you become more aware in general. And my experience is that this awakens the awareness of aspects of habitual behavior. This has certainly gotten me closer to understanding the function of what my habits have been, and it can do the same for you. And I can tell you from experience that whatever edges you have about that can soften as you practice just being attentive. It's not the only thing, but it's a beginning thing. And the practice is not really about what you're being attentive to. It's the practice of being attentive without judging or labeling anything. Just giving yourself opportunities to appreciate your life force right now in this moment. So now I invite you, because we'll be shifting our attention from this practice into our topic, to know that at any moment you can just let your attention be present. And we're going to continue on after a little station ID. This is Habits into Health, and my name is Michael Ann Conley. I'm a holistic therapist, have been for many years, and I learned about effective ways to work with all behavior patterns and what they all have in common. So if you're dealing with a serious problem habit, or even if the problem is the habit somebody else has, you can benefit from learning new methods for dealing with the situation. And if you're dealing with a small habit, something that doesn't bother anybody else but you, boy, it really would be great to begin to feel satisfied with yourself and your way of managing it, wouldn't it? So you can come on to habitsintohealth.com, and that's where I share some new ways to approach problem habits. And I'm interested in helping you find your unique individual way to get to peace and serenity. You can ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire, and that will help you get started. So let's talk about your problem habit and what happens if you're stuck and not feeling so good about that. Maybe you're impatient. Maybe other people are impatient with you and even upset. And if you're like a lot of folks, you might be wondering what your resistance is all about. And that includes if you're hurting because somebody else isn't getting their act together, you might blame it on their resistance. And it's actually not uncommon if you're thinking that. Resistance is a word that gets thrown around a lot. If you don't do what the treatment program says, or the doctor says, or your counselors, or your coaches, you could be seen as resistant. Or, you know, on some simple level, simply opposing their recommendations, making up your own mind. And they may have expertise in your problem habit that would suggest it be a good idea to maybe listen and not push back. But maybe not. Now, in substance abuse situations, resistance is tied to denial, where the person with the problem denies that there's a problem or denies that it's as bad as it is. And that could be true for you even if you don't have an alcohol or drug problem. This word resistance just has a lot of negative associations, and who wants to have to deal with that? So let's toss this word and recognize that when you're stuck around your problem habit and you're not feeling successful in dealing with it, saying you're resistant is just not a very productive or helpful way to approach it. When you haven't stopped what you're doing, there's a function to that. It serves a function. All behavior serves a function. Even if that function is dysfunctional, meaning that even if it doesn't serve your life, ultimately. I just don't like the word, and I want to encourage you to walk in a different kind of question. Every behavior, even an unhealthy behavior, serves a function. So, for instance, if you have trouble staying on your diet and put yourself down for not having willpower, Julia Ross, the author of The Diet Cure, will tell you it's not your fault. So will Dr. Robert Lustig, who's written a lot about sugar. Julia points out that people needlessly blame themselves as if lacking willpower is the cause of their emotional eating. And research by her and nutritionists in the field of functional medicine show that having low levels of certain brain chemicals, or neurotransmitters, are more likely to be the culprit, that it leads to the craving. So it doesn't help that so many of us eat substances out of cans and boxes, which set us up to fail. That's certainly what Dr. Lustig would say. If you're caught in a cycle around a problem habit, whether it's about smoking or eating, picking your nose, or yelling at the kids, it's true that something's going on there, but punishing yourself by calling yourself resistant isn't going to help you get to the other side. And neither is trying to force yourself to change, which is often a response to calling yourself resistant. So on the one side, you've got, no, 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 I'm not going to go there at all. On the other side, you've got, yes, 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 I got to get there right away. Not helpful. So let's talk instead about reluctance instead of resistance. And let's talk about it as a sign of readiness. Because if you're not ready, you'll push back against anyone, including yourself. Anyone who tries to browbeat you into change. No wonder it's so hard. To do this, really, it's important to recognize the difference between the frequency of your nervous system, including the cells of that brain of yours, and the frequency of cells in your muscle and bones, which is where the action is. Of course, your mind or your thoughts will push. The nervous system is designed to move pretty fast. That's why, say for instance, when you touch a hot stove, your hand actually moves away from the stove before your brain sends the signal to your voice box to say, ouch. It's milliseconds, but that signal happens faster. Getting away from that stove or from the tiger in the woods or whatever is essential to saving your life in that moment. So the survival part of the nervous system will override the other levels of the brain that do what we call thinking. They'll activate the muscles and get you out of there. My experience is that when you're ready, you'll stop being reluctant. You can try to force readiness, but that plan just rarely works. So how can you use your reluctance to help you grow that readiness to change? Here's something that I discovered, an important first step. Just acknowledge your reluctance is a signal. Don't toss out this possibility without considering it. After all, what harm is there in considering the possibility? Probably not much, but potentially there could be harm if you refuse to consider the possibility. So it's kind of logical, don't you think? Denial does exist, and with some substances, especially like alcohol and drugs, the substances themselves create illusions in the brain about their true nature. So you end up being lulled into thinking that the substance isn't affecting you, when it actually is. Chemical changes from activities like gambling have also been found, not to mention sugar and certain food-like substances. So the first step is to be open to the possibility that being reluctant could be a signal of a problem in itself. Here's an example that I've dealt with in my own life. I'm pretty public about ice cream and other dairy products being a problem for my health. It's kind of not a good idea for me to go there. Or I have to take special measures. So when I feel a desire for ice cream, for instance, I've learned that I get more value for my life when I acknowledge the desire rather than chasing it by feeding my face. Just taking a minute or two to do what I call walking in the question of what is this signal telling me? What's really going on? And this creates space to consider all possibilities. And sure, sometimes the answer is, oh, I just want some ice cream. No big deal. But more often than not, I've learned that usually the desire is a signal about something that's going on in my life that I've been ignoring when it would serve to be more attentive. Maybe I'm feeling unsettled about this or that, or something someone said to me, a phone call I received, or a moment of worry about something that's happening. This is one reason that I practice attentiveness myself, and I encourage it in you, because as you open yourself to self-exploration from a place of kindness, doors open toward a different future. Next time, I'll talk about some other questions you can be present with that can prepare you to be ready as well, so that you can shift from thinking you know what's going on and pressuring yourself to making changes from that point of view to an attitude of inquiry. For now, it's time for me to sign off. Thanks for listening. If you think you want some help turning your old habits around, then consider coming to habitsintohealth.com. Remember to start small. Ask for a self-assessment questionnaire. It's free. Give yourself a chance to look into healthy possibilities for your future. And also, be kind to yourself this week. You've been listening to Habits Into Health, and I'm Michael Ann Conley. And what I know is that no matter how much you've tried, and failed in the past. It is definitely possible to stop that out-of-control feeling over your problem habit. And then you can start creating a life where you feel just as powerful on the inside as you look on the outside. Thanks so much for joining me.